Dear President Vladimir Putin, I'm so sorry that I was not your mother. If I was your mother, you would have been so loved, held in the arms of joyous light. Never would the stories plight the world unfurled before our eyes, a pure demise of nations sitting peaceful under a night sky. If I was your mother, the world would have been warm.
Thank you for hearing my concerns.
Jesus, will you relax? What's the worst that could happen?
Why don't we go for a drive? The whole family.
A drive? And Miss Gilligan?
Dinner's gonna be late.
Here, boy. Here, boy.
So much laughter and joy, and nothing would harm. I can't imagine the stain, the soul-stealing pain that the little boy you must have seen and believed, and the formulation of thought quickly taught that you lived in a cruel, unjust world. Is this why you now decide no one will get the best of you? Is this why you do not hide nor away shy from taking back the world? Was it because so early in life all that strife wrapped your little body with fear? If I was your mother, if the world was cold, I'd have died to make you warm. I'd have died to protect you from the unjust, the violence, the terror, the uncertainty. I would have died to give you life. Oh, dear Mr. President Putin. If only I'd been your mother.
Who's got the cigarettes?
Here. And?
Yeah. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
All right, let's get started.
Had a friend of mine text me last night. Said, I hope you have a good week. My response was, so do I. But, not sure how that's going to work out for me.
Why is that, Rabbi Dave?
Well, in case you missed the news, and if you're watching or listening to this show, not watching this show, sorry. Because we don't do video for the show. Maybe we should. I don't know. Yeah. God, the editing would be a nightmare.
I'd have to shower first then, Dave.
Editing would be a nightmare. You know what? Maybe we should do. Remember my idea for sending us money?
Yeah.
Maybe we should put this behind the video behind a paywall. And you can see all of our crazy antics that we're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, it wouldn't be edited, so... because I don't have time to do that. Anyway, the point is that in case you missed the news, and if you're listening to this show, you probably did, World War III began on Thursday?
Yeah.
I don't even remember when it was, Thursday or Wednesday. After the Olympics were over, of course. Good morning, Friar.
Oh, of course. They wanted to wait. Yeah.
Good morning, good Friar.
Good morning. It is coffee time.
It is indeed coffee time. So there's an interesting... thing here that's going on with this war. You know, in World War One, it was Germany invaded France.
Mm-hmm.
In World War Two, it was Germany invaded Poland.
Yeah.
In Korea, it was North Korea invaded South Korea. In Vietnam, it was, well, nobody really invaded anybody, but, you know, you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
1979, it was China invaded Vietnam. In 1990, it was Iraq invaded Kuwait. But for some reason now, it's Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
As if Vladimir Putin himself, shirtless and atop a bear, astride a bear, probably Hank the Tank, rolled into eastern Ukraine leading the Cossacks himself. Which is weird to me. I know this isn't on the agenda for today. Sorry, it's a weird place to start, but
yeah,
I'm a little. I get it. I get that Putin is the insane, mustachio-less dictator.
Yeah,
who, unlike previous dictators, actually has, you know, doesn't have a budget and that sort of thing. But I get all that. But. There's a whole lot of people that are doing this for him, and those people are Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should forget that. I just don't. Sorry.
Well, apparently, some of them thought they were just on a training exercise, which, you know, once you cross the border, I mean.
Now, here's my question, all right? And we're going to get into some of this, but do you believe them?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell with the news nowadays.
I don't get why it's just Putin has invaded Ukraine. It's Russia has invaded Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Russia is led by what we can now say is a nuclear madman. But at the same time, they're going along with him. And this is the part I don't get. Nobody is holding Russia accountable for the fact that they're allowing this nut job to do this.
Mm-hmm.
How many times we have this argument?
I don't understand why Germans went along with Hitler.
Yeah.
And yet I have yet to hear anybody say, I don't understand why Russians are allowing Putin to do this. I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something somewhere, which is possible.
Well, there were some people protesting, right?
Yes, you know, there were some
Western
protests.
Media is all like, oh, they're basically putting their lives on the line to protest in Russia.
And Russia has made an official statement about, you know, they don't have the right to do that.
Yeah.
So we're arresting them, which in the real world would result in what? If they started arresting people for protesting, what would actually happen?
More protests.
More protests. So, I don't know. Anyway, I woke up this morning to the news that Vladimir Putin has placed his nuclear forces on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
That actually started rumbling yesterday, because remember, there's a big time difference here.
Yeah.
And I ended up having a long, uncomfortable conversation with my wife in the car yesterday, because, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but I live 2.8 miles from the front gate of the Naval Submarine Base Bangor, Washington, which, for those of you who are not keeping up,
mm-hmm.
is where we homeport the entire Pacific portion of our deterrent force. So there yes. are numerous ballistic missile submarines here. There is a thing called, and I'm not giving out any classified information here. You can look it up on Google yourself if you want to. There is a thing here called SWIFPAC, Strategic Weapons Facility Pacific,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a gigantic field of bunkers. And in those bunkers are, dun, 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 well, you've heard of the nuclear stockpile, right?
Yeah.
That's where it is. So,
what you're saying, Dave, is that you're a big target.
We are 2.8 miles from the front gate of the base that is got to be target number probably one or two. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there are not very many higher priority targets than where we live. And so we're having this discussion as we're driving yesterday because she's concerned about this. She doesn't want it discussed with Ben, obviously.
Sure.
So I'm trying to explain to her the effects of atomic weapons explosions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a website, or at least there used to be a website called Nuke Map.
I think it's still there.
I can't get the link to work this morning. It may just be being overwhelmed because lunatic Putin has made his threat. I don't know. I can't get it to work this morning. But Nuke Map used to be, or is, a site that you can go to and you can put in various parameters, weapon size, explosion size, altitude, blah, 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 blah. And I used to regularly run these computations. Now, let me say this. This is an unclassified site, so take it for what it's worth. It's not... I got to be careful what I say here, okay?
I'm guessing it's getting overloaded.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Because people are panicking. They're going, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Well, I know my son was asking me about that.
But having used it before...
Yeah.
I can tell you some general things, which are that even for most weapons that are in use in the world today, the direct blast will probably not harm us unless they miss and just land on our house, which is a distinct possibility because we're talking about Russians here. Okay? So, but then we got to deal with fallout.
It's the residual shockwave and things like that.
Well,
that can
see, even that is probably not as dangerous here because we have a lot of hills
between
here and there. We have basically three ridge lines between here and there. And
okay. Yeah. So it could very well pass over. It
could very well be deflected up. But then you've got fallout issues and you've got heat issues and fire issues. And again, it all depends on blast height.
Yeah.
If the blast height is very high altitude, which when you're trying to dig out bunkers is not very effective, but that would be problematic for us. But if they're trying to dig out bunkers, then, you know, ground burst type stuff, then who knows? But the bottom line is, if the elephant goes up, if the proverbial crap hits the circular rotation air moving device, it's been nice knowing y'all, and see you on the other side, because we're not going to make it.
Yeah. This podcast will then change its name to something else.
Right. Which Rod will continue on in my memory.
There you go.
Better anyway.
Yeah.
Assuming there's still an internet, because there's an EMP thing and...
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the thing is the EMP is going to, EMP would do far more damage in some ways.
Now,
to us.
Before you get too crazy about all this stuff and start sending me emails about Dave, see, for Rod, you're pretty safe where you are because Castle's closed.
Only thing I'd have to worry about would be any kind of ash fallout from San Francisco getting hit. Right.
But you can deal with that. Close your doors, get some masking. You still have your masking tape from 2001, right? Plastic?
I still have, we have plastic and stuff here.
I don't want to start a run to the hardware stores or anything, but, you know, plastic is pretty effective against nuclear fallout. Duct tape. It'll help. As long as the original gamma rays don't get you, the alpha beta stuff, you can defend against that. It's not that big of a deal. Make sure your pantry. What the hell am I doing?
I don't know. Make sure your pantry's stocked up.
Do you have a desk to hide under?
Yeah.
Duck and cover drills?
Taking us back to the 80s.
80s? Taking us back to the 60s, man.
Well, 70s. I remember 70s, 80s. I mean, I'm the Red Dawn generation.
So before we all get too crazy here.
Sure.
There's some factors here that need to be considered. If I know Putin is crazy, and you know Putin is crazy, I'm going to assume, and yes, I know what that means, that there are people in Russia who knows that Putin is crazy. And I'm hoping that those people are people who are in a position to say
in
something.
In his command structure somewhere.
Some years ago, there was a book that came out. In fact, it came out in 1978. It was called The Third World War, and it was written by a British guy by the name of the guy's name is John Hackett. He was a general and a knight. So he had a sir and a general in there. I have no idea what order they go in. General Sir John Hackett. I think that's what it was. And I remember when that book came out, published by Macmillan Publishers, went direct to paperback. You couldn't even get it in hardback. And there it was at the store at Albertsons in Ogden, Utah. And I begged my dad, the store in Albertsons, to give me $5 so I could buy that book. And he did. And I read that book. And I consumed that book. I memorized that book. Because it was a scenario, a rosy scenario, as Alexander Haig would have said, of what might happen if Russia, which in 1978, if you recall, was led by wackadoodles who thought it was cool to threaten the world with nuclear weapons, just decided to invade a neighboring country. Sound familiar? So the scenario was roundly criticized. There were a lot of people in the strategic community who said, no, this book is trash. It's garbage. And their biggest complaint with it, you want to know, guess what their biggest complaint with the book was?
I don't know. I don't have any guess.
It was too positive. It
too
was
positive?
Too hopeful.
Okay.
So the war goes like this.
A lot of people live off of dystopian views, and they really like to see the negative side of things.
Wow. So they invade, the Russians invade in this book. They invade West Germany, Poland, and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't go well, as well as they had expected. So the Russians are known for these ridiculous timetables. Like, sure, we're going to take Kiev in 3 days. Yeah. By the way, don't send me an email saying you're mispronouncing Kiev. I don't care. I'm an Anglophile. I'm an English speaker, so it's Kiev. Don't like it? Tough shit. Anyway, so the Russians have these insane timetables. They always have.
Yeah.
And, of course, what they don't count on is Western craziness, particularly American doctrine in combat, mm-hmm, which is we don't have one. We just do whatever it seems to work.
F this. Let's right. get it done.
Right. Which they complain about all the time. But at any rate, needless to say, in the book story, the timetable goes out the window about 5 seconds after the war starts, which is what mm-hmm. Patton said. No plan survives first contact with the enemy.
Sure.
So because things slow down and because it's not clear that the Russians are winning. Now, keep in mind, that's not the same thing as losing.
Yes.
But they aren't winning.
Yeah.
People aren't rallying to their cause. People aren't out in the streets welcoming them as liberators against Western imperialism and capitalism. No. And it's costing them a buttload of equipment, men, and money.
Yeah.
Okay. That spooks the Kremlin leaders
mm-hmm.
into making a decision to show the world that they're serious.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. And so they get on the bat phone, the red phone, and they call everybody up and they say, we're serious. We're activating our nuclear forces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up. This is from a book in 1978, folks.
Okay. Okay.
So everybody kind of says, well, if you activate yours,
we got to activate ours.
And you're familiar with the idea of mutual assured destruction, right, Mr. Soviet Premier? Because you shoot at us, we're shooting back.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And so the Soviets take this threat and they go, well, that won't work.
No.
So let's send them a message. And so they make the decision. This is the scenario in the book that's considered too rosy. They decide to send one missile at one city, and they just randomly pick a city. They don't want to pick a capital, because if you pick a capital, that's going to be a problem. So they pick a city in England, and it happens to be Birmingham.
Okay.
And they call everybody up, and they say, we're going to show you that we're serious, but we're restrained. So Birmingham's going to go away.
It's going to glow in the dark.
And they launch a missile at Birmingham, and they take out Birmingham. So the U.S. and Britain and France get together and decide, well, this is not good. So mm-hmm. we too must send a message, but we're going to send a message a little bit differently. So they get, since these are the three countries that have ballistic missile submarines, and in 1978, there were only four countries that had ballistic missile submarines, Russia being the other one. Three submarines, ballistic missile, one U.S., one Britain, and one French.
Sure.
All launch one missile each.
Yeah.
At Minsk, which they chose because Minsk is not a Russian city.
Okay.
Minsk belongs to one of the SSRs, or notionally independent republics that are part of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Sure.
So they take out Minsk, which is in Belarus. And the Belarusians go, what the hell? We didn't do this. And they call up the Russians in Moscow and say, dude, we're out. No, we're not. No, you're not flying over us. You're not going through here. You're done. We're out. Yeah. And the Ukrainians do the same thing. Because they look around and go, well, you know, we don't have a lot of big cities, so we can't really.
Mm-hmm.
And so the individual republics in the Soviet Union start saying, no, we're out. And of course, this leads to the breakup of the Soviet Union, and peace reigns amongst the world. And I'm not making this up. In the postscript of the book, Birmingham and Minsk become Peace City East and Peace City West. They build monuments around them. And
sure,
everybody remembers that time when people got crazy. And the scenario is seen as too rosy by the military planners in 1978, and they roundly criticized the book. So John Hackett went back and wrote a different ending that wasn't quite as rosy. And it's so unrosy that you can't even get the different ending. They don't sell it. In the republished books and the updated book, they don't even put it in there because it's the kind of thing you read and you go, well, if I posted this on Facebook, they'd ban me because it would might encourage you to do something harmful to yourself again. Not that I know anything about that. So
I haven't checked to see if I've been banned yet.
So there's this idea here that common sense might prevail. Remember Tom Clancy in his book, Red Storm Rising, is generally the same scenario. The Russians invade the West. They get slowed down. They turn to nuclear weapons thinking that's going to equalize the equation. And it leads to a revolt in the general staff that causes the downfall of the Soviet government, the breakup of the Soviet Union, and blah, blah, blah. This seems to be the prevailing thing here, right? Mm-hmm. Is that somebody in the Soviet Union is smarter than Vladimir Putin and will be able to stop this. But is that realistic?
I don't know. I mean, you've got North Korea, right? I mean, they still have their leader there. And you'd think that someone somewhere would say, you know, this guy's a nut job.
A little bit different scenario, isn't it? North Korea, you have a populace that is completely and utterly isolated.
Yes, they are.
If you told the North Korean populace, hey, I'm from Davenport, Iowa, they would stare at you like,
where's
Iowa? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not the case in Russia. Russia is a much more, it's an industrialized modern country where they have internet access, where they.
Well, I would think with the oligarchs over there would start complaining, you know, because there's a lot of rich oligarchs over there. And so they're going to find, you know, financially, they're having a lot more difficulty.
Well, that's part of the problem is that you would think that. But if I'm one of these rich oligarchs right now, today, what are my options? If Putin falls, what happens to me?
Yeah,
I get shot.
Yeah.
And I don't get to enjoy my billions, however, whether they were gained lawfully or not.
You could renounce your citizenship and go somewhere else.
If Putin wins, what happens? I'm branded an international criminal. And at some point, somebody's going to take a shot at me.
Yeah.
Maybe even Putin himself, because
it's almost a no-win scenario for those people.
Right. So what do you do? If you're one of them, what do you do? What are you thinking right now?
You're going to have to back one side wholeheartedly.
And so far, which side have they decided to back?
Well, yeah.
Because Putin ain't pulling back. He's not stopping. In fact, he's upping the ante by putting his nuclear forces on alert, which is basically a threat to use nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, and he's sending over more. Yeah. What are those?
Chechens.
Big daddy weapons that are supposedly, you know, airburst, fry your lungs type.
Yep. They were rolling those through Moscow the other day, the mobile launchers, some sort of parade. I don't know, man. I'm this conversation with Cammy about these weapons, and I'm trying to explain to her, you know, the effects of weapons and what we'll need to, you know, we've stocked our pantries pretty good. We have stuff to, you know, civil defense. God, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. My dad's second church he was assigned to, was a fallout shelter. My dad reported there in 1976. And in the basement of this building in Pueblo, Colorado, were thousands of boxes of civil defense supplies, crackers, water, peanut butter. And I thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it's Pueblo, Colorado. Yeah, we're kind of near an Air Force base up in Colorado Springs, but prevailing winds and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What I didn't know at that time was that Pueblo had a defense depot there that would have been noted, as it were. And in an all-out exchange, none of that matters anyway. In an all-out exchange, you're just aiming at population centers.
Yeah.
So it made me nervous. This conversation with Cammy has made me uneasy for someone who spent my entire life, as I explained to Ben yesterday, because he asked me some question about nuclear weapons. I don't remember what it was. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, you don't need to be scared of them. We're living, you know, 5 miles from them.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I didn't know that. I said, it's no big deal, Ben. I used to sleep between them. So yeah. it's not a big deal. It really isn't. He's like, oh, okay. And then he ran off and played. The whole thing has me on edge because I don't trust Putin. I don't trust Putin at all. But I'm not sure our own leadership is up to this task. That's the part that really scares me, is I don't think they are.
Well, and people were afraid of Trump having the football, right? I mean,
yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, Biden's got the football and hello. I mean, he's barely there.
Well, according to social media, this is great because he has backed Putin into a corner and he's outsmarted Don Tard and just been brilliant in all of this. And I keep thinking to myself, I keep going back to a single thing that I saw. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and beat the drum for Trump because I'm not a Trump supporter in the strictest of sense. Yes, I voted for him because
a MAGA person.
Yes. I voted for him twice because, you know, because Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. That's why I didn't vote for Trump as much as I voted against them. How's that? And in fact, the first time I didn't vote for either of them. So
yeah, I didn't vote for either of them the first time either.
But I go back to one thing I heard someone say. Do you remember that time when Donald Trump shot a bunch of missiles at an airfield in Syria?
Mm-hmm.
And Vladimir Putin shut up for the next 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, whether you like Trump or not, doesn't matter to me. Whether you like Richard Nixon or not, doesn't matter to me. Whether you like Ronald Reagan or not, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But there's a factor in the equation that when the Russians don't understand their opponent, when their opponent recklessly talks about throwing nukes at them, they tend to calm down.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's going to happen.
They respect that force comment. Because they're not certain if that's a real threat or not.
They were terrified of Richard Nixon. They were terrified of Ronald Reagan. They were terrified of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I get it. Donald Trump's, you know, okay. But the Russians were terrified of it.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's not there today. And Vladimir Putin is putting his forces on full nuclear alert.
Yeah.
You read into that what you will. There are things, Rod, that I have no need to know. A need to know is it's a phrase that we use in the Navy, particularly in the military, especially.
Any kind of security thing.
Any kind of security thing. Do you have a need to know? No, I don't. Then you don't need to know.
Yeah.
The need to know does not necessarily equate to knowing.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I know that I do not need to know. Therefore, I cannot talk about them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, I live 5 miles from the piers where the western side of the nuclear defense of this country is stationed.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're all out now.
They're not all out. Some of them can't right now. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
There you go. So anyway, I'm a little nervous this morning. I'm a little on edge this morning. Probably not a great day to be drinking more coffee, but it's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Rough times.
It is. What the Frock? I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And stay with us. We'll be right back. About every year at Christmas, my dad, well, I shouldn't say every year. I should say maybe three out of the last 5 years.
Okay.
My dad does something really cool. He sends us an Omaha Steaks box.
Just the box?
Well, no, it's full of Omaha Steaks.
Okay, that's cool. And
I don't know about you, but my wife really loves steak. I'm pretty big on steak, especially if it's good steak.
Yeah.
Careful, cheap stuff.
I love me some red meat.
Have you ever tried Omaha Steaks? And I get nothing for this. I'm not getting anything out of it.
I have not, but I might have to try that now that you're kind of talking it up.
So after he sent us the last one, which I'm not kidding, actually caused a fight in our house because there wasn't enough to go around.
Wow.
Okay. So we got a thing from Omaha Steaks saying, you know, do you want to join us as a, not a regular subscriber, but you want to order for yourself instead of waiting for your dad to do it. And they sent us a coupon and everything. So,
sure.
And then it says, you can buy this box that has this much stuff in it. And you can buy up to two boxes on this offer. So I said, well, let's order one. Cammy says, let's order one. And then Cammy's reading the fine print. She goes, let's order two because we can't.
It comes frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is the key of what I'm about to say. It comes in this big old cooler thing. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool. Ben loves these coolers. He's got five of them in his room stacked up because he loves these things. They make great toy boxes. Anyway, inside the box, at the very bottom of the box, is a big old chunk, probably a foot square, of dry ice. Which then turns into the science experiment in our kitchen after we get the box unloaded. We have to take the dry ice, put it in the sink, because then Ben plays with it in the sink.
Yeah.
And I always put pictures of this on my Facebook. He loves that dry ice. And he's so excited when the Omaha Steaks box comes.
He doesn't have to wait for the steaks, though. You could easily get dry ice at your local store, right?
Shh.
Okay. He's not listening to these yet, is he?
No.
Okay.
So he loves this dry ice stuff. And so I posted the picture of the dry ice on my page. And I got this response from a listener. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. So this is a listener to the show who saw the dry ice picture, and he sent me this. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. Quote, I built a love nest to surprise the wife 20 years ago. Red satin curtains surrounding the bed, soft jazz, and on the dresser, a big bowl of dry ice spilling romantic mist onto the floor.
Okay.
CO2, however, turned out not to be the ticket to a huge good time. The headache went away around 3 a.m. Nothing romantic about that night. And he says, I didn't think I wanted everybody to see this post on your page, so I texted it to you. And I said immediately, no names will be used, but this is going into the What the Rock show this week.
The CO2 gave him a headache.
Oh, yeah. So, well, because it displaces the oxygen.
It does, yeah.
And that's funny.
So you don't you want to leave your windows open then, I guess.
Yes.
Which so you really don't want to do for a romantic evening. So.
Or when the Russians are threatening to throw nuclear weapons at you.
True.
Probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Although it only takes 5 pounds of overpressure to break a window, so maybe you want to leave them open. That's what you do in a tornado, right? You open up all the windows.
Yeah, because of the pressure. Doors.
Right. Anyway, it was just a reminder to me that CO2 is bad.
Yeah,
dun, it is. Dun, dun. And in fact, in case you missed it, we were reminded of that this week because former Secretary of State, former Senator, who served in Vietnam, John Kerry,
whose wife is like the Heinz heir, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Risa Heinz. Reminded us that, well, I hope the Russians are taking into account their CO2 production as they invade Ukraine.
I'm thinking that, nah, it's not happening. So I do think that I think warfare does cause an increase in CO2, even though lives are lost.
Well, that's the part that I just can't get. Surely John Kerry is smart enough to know that if he says this publicly, oh my God, global warming gases are going to be increased because of this invasion.
Well, do you really think an idiot knows they're an idiot?
See, I don't know anymore. This man was a sitting senator in the United States Senate. He wanted to be president of the United States.
Sure.
He was Secretary of State, which I realize now, I realize I'm in the minority here. Secretary of State, I don't care what you say to me, is a non-job. Secretary of State is where you park people, if you're the president,
yeah.
It's where you park people who you want to get rid of.
Yeah. But Hillary Clinton.
It's elevation, approbation, and castration in one stroke.
Sure.
You make it look like you're honoring them, but what you've really done is invalidate them.
Yeah.
Why do I say this? Because what Secretary of State does anything? Since Henry Kissinger, name me a Secretary of State that actually accomplished anything.
I can't think of a one.
Why is that? Because if there's actually something to be accomplished, I don't know, the Camp David Accords.
The president does it.
The president does it. He goes and takes all the glory. If there's something stupid to be done, like handing the Russians a reset button, who does he send?
Yeah. This is, well, nowadays it's Kamala Harris.
Because nobody even knows who the Secretary of State is.
No.
That's what I'm telling you. It's a non-job. So
it is.
I get that. But at the same time, I have to assume that in order to reach these pinnacles of government where we pay you absurd amounts of money, I almost have to assume that there's some intelligence behind them, right? Surely John Kerry knew that as soon as he opened his mouth saying, this war is going to cause an increase in global warming, he knew that he would be mercilessly mocked. He had to know.
Well, the media is not going to do that, right? Because they all kind of fawn.
And he doesn't watch Twitter.
No.
So I don't know. I do know this. I know that the Russians have captured Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
And in the process of capturing Chernobyl, see how crazy this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, I said this to somebody else I was talking to the other day. Maybe it was Eric. I don't remember, but it didn't make any sense to me. If I'm the Ukrainians, why do you even defend Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Why do you even?
Well, it still has an active reactor, doesn't it?
Yeah. But seriously, why even defend it?
Yeah.
But they did. And so the Russians dropped some shells on it and, of course, managed to penetrate or shake up or somehow or another managed to damage
the
enclosure containment enclosure, and radiation levels are up like 2,000% at Chernobyl.
Nice work, Russia.
Way to go, Russia, led by Putin. Hope you're proud of yourselves.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, why isn't Greta Thunberg?
I don't know. The Cabbage Patch Kid is what I call her.
Why isn't she yelling at the Russians about this? How dare you cause more global warming by starting a war? Why isn't she yelling about
it? I don't know. Is she doing anything in the news right now? I don't think she is.
Probably laying low because Sweden's awfully damn close to Russia.
Yeah. Well, and they're talking about joining NATO now.
Well, that'll make the Russians happy.
That and Finland. Well, and Russia has come out and said, you know, don't you do it.
Or else. See, the Finns and the Russians, man, they don't like each other.
No.
The Russians tried invading Finland in 1939, and it did not go well for them. Once again, they had this strict timetable they were going to adhere to, and they invaded Finland, and the Finns went, we don't care about your timetable.
Yeah.
And the Finns actually invented this process. Well, they didn't invent it, but they mastered this process of sending snipers to find the Russian officers, the general staff officers.
Oh, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, these Russian generals were getting whacked behind the lines. And they were like, wait, this sucks. This isn't supposed to be happening.
I don't want to be out here.
Right.
Who's next in line?
That guy over there.
Taking one step back.
This, by the way, an old American tactic from the American Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, which the British complained was unchivalrous and unwarlike and unfair.
But it worked. So, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
So, anyway, that invasion. I hope you're sensing a pattern here. The Russians have these plans and they never work out. Except when you're the Germans.
When you're a centralized authoritarian government, you know, you think that, you know, you can plan everything on paper and that it's going to work, right?
The only time it ever worked was against the Germans. I wonder why that is. Well, the second time. The first time it didn't work against the Germans. Second time it did. Anyway, I'm confused about why Greta Thunberg isn't out yelling at us about this war. I mean, that's all we need, right? If she would go out to a microphone and say, "How dare you," and point her finger at Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Surely he would see, "Oh my God, she's right. I'm destroying humanity. I'm destroying the world." And he would say, "Well, that's it. We're done."
Yeah. And Greta says no.
Here's some money and that'll clean it up, right? Surely she would give her a Nobel Peace Prize. Give her some Soviet prize or something. Well, the good news is John Kerry's concerned about the environment.
And not the lives of people.
Right. Well, CBS News is worried about our economy. It's been hit with increased gas prices, inflation, and supply chain issues due to the Ukrainian crisis.
Yeah, because we have so many things coming from Ukraine.
Forgot about that time that I forgot to take the trash out due to the current situation in Ukraine. Do you remember that time when you forgot to do your 8th grade homework because of the situation in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Or that time you...
My dog got scared and ate my homework because of the situation in Ukraine.
Or that time I had to eat an entire pizza because of the situation in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become my... It's going to become my new mantra. I did it because... Why did you do this? Because of the situation in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to What the Frock. I am Friar Rod, and it's now that time of the show that we talk about our WTF news stories. So, kind of leading in this whole environmental thing, my story comes in relation to a teacher couple that's leading a bizarre movement to stop the world from having more children because they claim that giving birth is a crime against humanity. That's killing the planet. Yes, indeed, you heard that right. They are members of the Birth Strike Movement, an outspoken activist group. This group believes their pledge can spare future generations of children from a dystopian existence. The members of a group are refusing to have kids until humanity has resolved its own social, environmental, political, and economic issues. I'm going to stop right here and just say, hey, you know, if they don't want to have kids, I feel much safer about it. They can, you know, as long as they don't indoctrinate mine, they are free to stop having children. But basically, they just say it doesn't seem ethical to bring new life into a situation where we really don't have any plans to combat the vast issues we're currently facing. You wouldn't throw a party in a burning building, so why are we planning to have families on a burning planet? It just doesn't add up. So really, Dave, it's these people are insane.
What happened to the idea of we need to have more kids to fight the fires?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, their logic goes, anytime you have a child, you're bringing into the world another person who will cause carbon emissions. And in addition to their children, plus their grandchildren and so forth. It's so ridiculous. You know, obviously, these people don't understand the economic impact of not having kids, you know, help support the whole social system that supports everyone.
Well, I have a solution to that, though. Because aren't we supposed to, within 10 years, be able to have sex with robots?
Well, that's true.
So
that'll stop some, right?
That'll fix that. The whole social thing. See, anyway, all these incels and everybody that you know, I can't find a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. Make one.
Yeah.
You'll be happy.
We've had those discussions on this segment of our show.
I know we have. I know we have. And as I recall, it was a Russian too, wasn't it?
It was a Russian who married a sex doll that he rescued.
Gal Gadot. Is that how you say that?
Gal Gadot.
Has been dethroned as the Queen of Cringe.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who don't know this, and I didn't, Gal Gadot, I guess, posted a TikTok video or something, some kind of social media video, some time ago, in which she and other celebrities were singing the John Lennon song, Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I've never seen that video. It makes me cringe just thinking about it. Because first off, the song Imagine, while John Lennon was a musical genius, is a pure socialistic communistic fantasy.
Yes.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Sorry, it just doesn't. It's a great song, yeah. But so is Who Put the Bomb in the Bomb Shabop Shabop, and they both make about as much sense.
Yeah.
Hand-jive Gil Gadot, baby. Yeah. Gil Gadot has been dethroned as the Queen of Cringe. Anna Lynn McCord, who, as it turns out, is someone of fame. I had never heard of her before.
I've heard of the name. I don't know what she's famous for.
Apparently, she was on a TV show. 90210 or something like that.
Okay.
Never heard of her. She's not bad on the eyes as a adult woman, but she posted a quote bizarre video on Thursday pleading for peace between Russia and Ukraine, in which she intones these words: Dear President Vladimir Putin, I'm so sorry that I was not your mother.
Okay.
She's 34 years old. She addressed the video to the Russian president after he ordered his troops to invade. If I was your mother, she said, you would have been so loved. Held in the arms of joyous light. Never would this story's plight, the world unfurled before our eyes, a pure demise of nations sitting peaceful under the night sky. If I was your mother, the world would have been warm. If I was your mother, if the world was cold, I would have died to make you warm. I would have died to give you life, she continued, before stating that she, quote, cannot believe that she was born too late to become Vladimir Putin's mother.
Would she have said the same thing to Hitler?
Now, see, you had to go there, didn't you?
Well, I'm just saying that, I mean, that's the extreme, right? I mean, that would be our contemporary.
I know if I was your mother, that would be a start towards the awareness of what a powerful being of light you could be. I cannot believe I was born too late in a different place.
Well, I mean, obviously Putin thinks he is right in what he's doing, so.
Oh, come on. You know what the best part of this story is, don't you? I mean, not only is this insane woman completely disconnected from reality, but she posted this on social media.
Yeah.
This will definitely stop the trolling. This will definitely stop him. You are so strong and brave, Annalyn McCord. Another wrote, just sing Imagine what next time. It's easier than whatever this is. Gal Gadot's crown just slipped a little bit. One said, you're going to have to up your rhyme game if you're trying to stop a war. This ain't no lullaby, babu, boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo, let's go get us some picnic baskets.
And I thought to myself when I first saw this, I thought, okay, number one, maybe it's a good thing I've been banned from Facebook because now I don't have to watch this crap anymore. But my second thought was, I have no idea who this woman is. She's only 34, so.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like way younger than me. And like our friend who tried to use CO2 to seduce his 20-year younger than him wife, and it didn't work. I just don't see this relationship working out with Annalyn McCord either.
No. I'm still not banned from Facebook, by the way, from posting what you posted, basically.
Well, because you didn't post what I posted. Did I not send you the actual?
No, I just screenshotted what you sent me with your whole being removed. So, I mean, the content is still there, right?
So, I posted something yesterday that I was sure was going to get me banned.
Yeah.
Friend of mine that runs a page called Commie Gibberish of the Day, which is a great page. If you're not following, you should be following it on MeWe, because on MeWe, they don't have any restrictions about what people can say.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got banned for a certain post. So I copied the post of his post that he had been banned. So it had the "you've been banned" and what it was posted for. And by the way, what he was banned for was the post about, he posted the Daily Mail, which is a real newspaper.
It is.
Saying, hey, there's some suspicious stuff, some sus stuff, as the kids would say, going on here with this DNA for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that some of it was patented by Moderna.
Three years before.
Yeah. So he was banned by Facebook for those.
Yeah.
So I posted his picture of his ban plus the thing on my page. And this morning I got up and I was booted from Facebook. Well, it took some digging, but I finally figured out why I was booted from Facebook.
Yeah.
Because see, not only did I post that on my page, but then someone else, my wife's brother, posted a, hey, post something here that you in the comments that you think will get you banned.
Yeah.
So I posted it again there. So, yeah, okay, yes, I'm twisting the tiger's tail a little bit, taunting the tiger, as we would have said. And I got banned. So I got up this morning thinking that was it. Come to find out, that wasn't it at all. It's like they haven't even noticed that.
Yeah.
I got banned for something that I posted in 2019. It's a Hillary Clinton meme that says, and I quote, "This shit here is why I suicide people."
It's pretty funny.
2019. Which by my count in 2019, 20, 21, 20, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're upset because I also posted, I'd been banned before because I posted that meme about, if you haven't seen the movie, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. So there's a meme where there's two guys, an old guy and a younger guy standing there with nooses around their necks on the gallows.
Yeah.
And the guy says, first time. And then that's actually from the movie, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is hysterical. If you haven't seen it, you should. But the gist of the story is this guy's a bank. He got caught robbing a bank and was sentenced to be hung, and it didn't work, and he escaped.
Yeah.
And so now he's about to be hung again, and the old man next to him is crying. He's like, first time? So Facebook sees this as encouraging suicide, which it's definitely not, but...
It's not.
It's encouraging murder, but anyway, they banned me for that. So that's why I'm not on Facebook right now, because I posted a Hillary Clinton meme in 2019.
And so, yeah, I screenshotted your actual, you know, you are not on Facebook because of this.
So neither one of us will be on Facebook by the end of the day.
We'll see. Hopefully I can post the show before they get.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be able to. So, well, I don't know if I can or not, or if I can't. See, it's so confused because I can get into my page.
Yeah.
But then it says only you can see this. So I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if you can see my page. I don't know if you can see anything I'm posting, or I have no idea.
I can see what the last thing you posted was.
Hey, we got nothing else going on right now, so.
Nope.
What do you see?
I'm searching for you right now.
Take a COVID-19 survey, even if you feel well.
The last thing you posted was 14 hours ago, the Cowboy State Daily.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Bar stopped selling Russian vodka over Ukraine.
Yeah, I saw that. I should probably post something else just to get it going again. But anyway, I don't know. If I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, I'm not. So there you go. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You never responded to that thing I sent you the other day about the female soccer player. I take that back. You did respond to it, Fryer. You did respond to it. You said you don't watch women's soccer.
I typically don't. No, I used to a long time ago. They were exciting before they got political, and then it's like, okay, no.
Hey, did you see the? I don't even know what the hell league it is. What the women's league here? I don't even know what they call it.
Huh?
Did you see they won their lawsuit? They settled their lawsuit.
Oh yeah, the U.S. women's national team.
Right. So they wanted $60 million. They were going to put this into a fund or something to. It didn't make any sense to me that they were going to put this in a fund, and then that fund was going to make them equally paid or something, and blah blah blah. Anyway, they settled for $24 million.
Yeah, and called it a victory.
Right, because the lawyers are going to get a third of that, so they're going to get about $16 million, and it's all over social media about look what the national women's team did. Yay, they finally stood up for. What?
Well,
anyway, so I sent Rod this video. It's hysterical, and it's a soccer video. And I realized soccer is not, but it's this girl who's just playing against the United States team. So if you were watching this thing, the United States won this game 3-4 to nothing. I don't know. Yeah. And everybody's all like, yeah, yes. Well, it turns out that there was a player in this game that had a hat trick, which is three goals, but the player played for the other team, so all the goals that were scored for the United States were scored by the other team. She scored three own goals.
Yeah.
Okay. One own goal.
Yeah.
Bad luck. Two own goals.
At that point, I'd be like, I need to come out. I just need to take me out, please.
A third own goal, you're kind of going, is this legit? Because...
Maybe I need to be a forward on the other team.
Well, I'm wondering if I'm in Vegas, I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Because has that ever happened before?
I don't know that it has.
And it was pretty funny. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't funny to her because she didn't look real happy about the whole thing.
She did not look happy at all.
And her own teammates were kind of...
what the? Yeah. WTF.
Right. But it was... It was bemusing, I thought, in a way.
She's anyway, not going to start the next game, I'm sure.
You don't think? Well, you know, in Colombia, they shoot you for that.
So. Yeah, it's true.
And he only did it once. She did it three times. It's like, oh, Dave, this is going to get banned on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I didn't say she shot herself.
No.
If I did that, then, or if I put up a... See, this is the perfect meme right here, right? Yeah. Three own goals. First time? Yeah, that would get me fired again. So there you go. Anyway, we'd appreciate it if you'd like the show, download the show, share the show. We'd appreciate it if you'd rate and review the show, but since none of you are doing that.
We did get a new like, right?
Yes, we did. We did get a new like. Who was that liked the show?
It was Dylan, my son-in-law.
Oh, that's right. Your son-in-law.
Yeah.
The father of your grandchildren.
Yep.
How they doing?
They're doing well. They're growing. They're gaining weight. My daughter got to hold both of them for the first time together.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Fantastic. Anyway, welcome Will and Dylan to the family.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And
Dylan, he'll love the shout out again. So
you're not doing anything right now, so you need to go rate and review the show.
Yeah.
On iTunes and share it, download it. Otherwise, you're just like the rest of the knuckleheads that listen to this show. You're just not really, you're enjoying it, and it's free. I get it.
We need to have like donor levels, and so this is the knucklehead level.
Right. And for that level, you get to see the video. We make funny faces, and you can see my crazy hair. All the stuff we do during the breaks, which can't really discuss here.
So,
it's the kind of thing that we keep to ourselves. All right. And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod.
And this has been...
What the Frock?